The scripture today is taken from the book of Exodus. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen the Egyptian oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Before I get started, pray with me. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us here together. Use me today and use these words that we can all walk out of here not only uplifted, but able to make a difference in other people's lives and in our own lives this week. Thank you for sending your son to make a difference for us. In your name we pray, amen. Westminster Presbyterian Church. My name is Mark Hansen. I'm a Waterloo native. I lived in Waterloo between 1958 and 1997. Joel Harris and I have sung together in this church since 1992. He's pretty old. No, it is great to be back for the 4th of July celebration. It's really become a tradition. It's one that I look forward to every year, and I hope you enjoy the medley that we play today. Just a quick history on where I've been since 1997 and before, I guess. I worked as an English teacher in the Waterloo schools from 1981 to 1992. I served as an assistant principal at West Waterloo from 92 to 97. In 1997, I got my first principal's job at Burlington, where we stayed for 4 years. In 2001, I became principal at City High in Iowa City and remained in that position until 2010. And finally, in 2010, I was named principal at Ottumwa High School and retired from that position this past year. This year, I've worked as an eighth grade basketball coach, freshman football coach, head varsity tennis coach at Ottumwa High, a professional development provider at Cardinal of Eldon, an adjunct teacher for Buena Vista, dean of the Ottumwa Leadership Academy, and a committee member of the Ottumwa Housing Authority. Mary and I are members of the Bridge Church in Ottumwa and are in the process of trying to figure out what we're going to do with the rest of our lives. Mary retired with me last year after a 30-year teaching career. She's enjoyed volunteering in the schools and with our church in Ottumwa. She misses her kindergartners, but more often than not, when she wakes up in the morning without an alarm clock, she feels good about her decision. Our sons Dan and Scott are living in Minnesota. Dan is married and teaches English at Austin High School in Austin, Minnesota. Scott lives in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, just north of the Twin Cities, works as a caterer, and plays in a band. Listen to the words of the poem, "Do It Anyway," by Mother Teresa. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. I read this poem at the end of my graduation ceremonies for the last 6 years in Ottumwa, hoping that maybe some of our kids would get something out of that. You heard the message in Exodus. Today's message is based on Exodus 4, 10 through 12, Jonah chapters 1 and 2, and Acts 9. In Exodus, God was in the process of calling Moses to be the guy to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Prior to Exodus 4:10, God had shown Moses various signs that he was to be the leader. The burning bush, the staff that became a snake, those are just a couple things. Moses still did not want to do it. Moses pointed out to God how unqualified he was. He asked God what people would think. He was concerned about his own personal safety. God basically told him to shut up and do it anyway. In the first chapter, the book of Jonah, God had assigned Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to the people as they had become corrupt and immoral. Again, Jonah was not just hesitant, he tried to run away. Got into a boat, was thrown into the water and swallowed by a large fish. You know the rest of the story. Jonah tried to run, but God was not going to be denied. Jonah had to do it anyway. In Acts 9, there was a Pharisee named Saul who had dedicated his adult life to persecuting and killing Christians. He was headed to Damascus one day when he encountered a flash of light from heaven. Saul was literally blinded by the light. This man had not only rejected Jesus, but had been responsible for the deaths of many Christians. Take a moment to consider these three people and why they were chosen by God. Certainly, in the eyes of man, there were many more qualified folks to do the job than Moses, Jonah, and Paul. I think God purposely chose these people because they were weak, they were flawed, but that their message would be more powerful because they were. God called these three. They all balked at it. God was not going to give up on any of them. They were all concerned about what people thought of them and their own safety. But once they figured out that God was indeed calling them, they were able to carry out those missions despite their own doubts and insecurities. Now I'm going to ask you to go back to Mother Teresa's poem. Remember the line about being honest and frank? These three literally laid their lives on the line, speaking in truth about the Lord everywhere they went. Were they still flawed? Did they still have their weak moments? Were they still human? Yes. You and I will probably never be called to go to Nineveh or lead people to the promised land. In fact, how does anybody ever know if they're being called to do it anyway? Think for a moment about a grudge that you're holding right now. Have you been able to forgive a friend or relative who has wronged you, or maybe you have wronged them? I know that I've personally held grudges inside me for even years at a time. I think I've finally gotten to the point where I didn't want to carry that around inside me anymore. There's a line from the poem that talks about forgiving anyway. This is hard to do, but we know it's the right thing to do. The poem reminds us to be kind anyway. It doesn't cost anything extra to be nice to people. One of my goals at all the schools I've ever worked at was to learn the names of all of my students. Now think about that. All the schools I've worked in have had enrollments between 1,300 and 2,000. So this was not the easiest thing to do for me, and I never quite reached that goal. But I stood at the school door every morning and greeted kids, most by name. There's nothing that a kid likes more than to hear his or her name followed by a question that dealt specifically with them. The relationships we build with each other make all the difference. Giving kindness without expecting anything in return. People might look at you funny, but be kind anyway. Have you ever had to rebuild your life, career, or marriage after a terrible experience? What does Mother Teresa have to say about that? What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight? Build anyway. This idea makes me think back to my experience in Iowa City. I had a pretty good thing going at City High. We had one of the top academic performance levels in the state. Our students averaged between 25 and 26 on their ACTs. Sports Illustrated voted City High the top athletic school in the state of Iowa in 2005. Our music department won Grammy Awards in 2001, 2, and 3. In 2008, the district began talking about building a third high school in North Liberty. I spoke out at an attendance task force meeting about redrawing elementary school boundaries that fed into each of the high schools. Because of the politically charged atmosphere in Iowa City, I was called into the central office the following week and told that I could work one more year at City High, but that my contract would not be renewed after the 2009-10 school year. And that's how that went. That was a complete shock to me, as I felt we had made great improvements in the culture and climate of that building. All the academic and climate work were all down the drain. Remember Jonah being thrown into the sea and swallowed by the fish to get his attention? I just got fired from a job that I had thought I would be able to finish my career in. Getting fired was not what Mark Hansen had in mind, but in the end, God had other ideas. After my dismissal from City High, I was told by many people, including friends of mine, that I'd never get another principal's job. Too much baggage for a district to take a chance on me. But I went ahead and applied for jobs anyway. By April of 2010, I was hired to be the principal in, of all places, Ottumwa, Iowa. Ottumwa was a tough school. In many ways, it was as low performing as City High was high performing. Poor climate, lots of fights in the school, low graduation rate, low standardized test scores, and it seemed like the overall pride in the school and the town were lacking. The Ottumwa community overall is rather impoverished. About 65% of the district students are on free or reduced lunch. One in two families is broken, and many of these parents had had negative experiences in school themselves. It was definitely time to build anyway. In the 7 years that I worked in Ottumwa, the climate scores, as measured by the Iowa Safe and Supportive Schools, went from 17 out of 36 to 26 out of 36. These scores measured engagement, environment, and safety. We went from a school that was in the danger category to a safe, supportive school. Our graduation rate went from about 75% in 2009 to 88% in 2016. Our Iowa assessment scores went from 70% of our kids being proficient in math, reading, and science in 2010 to nearly 80% in 2016. For whatever reason, I think that God wanted me in a tumult. God wanted Moses, Jonah, and Paul for some reason. After they recovered from the initial shock of being God's messengers, they became some of the greatest human leaders of all time. What made them successful leaders? What makes anybody a successful leader? Number one, they love God. Sure, they were forced into their roles initially, but once they were on board, they became people who made history. Two, they love people. Even Paul, who had earlier put Christians to death, was transformed to be the greatest communicator and influencer of Christianity that the world had ever known. He didn't care if he was about to be put in jail or even threatened with death. Number three, they pursued excellence. Once these three were transformed, they were not satisfied with mediocrity at any level. They were all in for the Lord. An example of this is when Jonah finally made it to Nineveh and zealously preached the word. He actually expected the city to be destroyed. The bottom line there was that Jonah had done such a good job, the people's hearts were changed, and God spared Nineveh. Number four, despite all the naysayers and critics, these three leaders were resolute in doing it anyway. Yeah, there was going to be pain, sacrifice, near-death experiences, but as Mother Teresa stated in the last line of her poem, in the final analysis, everything we think, do, say is between God and us. It was never between us and them anyway. With all the evil in the world right now, when will we get the courage to do it anyway? With violence in our communities and schools, homelessness, mental health issues, drug abuse, child abuse, corruption at all levels of government, or just the utter hopelessness of so many of our young people, what do we do? Wait and see if people have the power to figure it out? Let the loudest mouth at the microphone decide things for us? Allow Satan to take control of our country and world? It's truly gotten to the point that if it's not us, who's it going to be? If it's not now, when will it be? Are we afraid of what people will think of us? Remember, it's between God and us. It was never between other people and us anyway. Maybe we won't end up changing the world, but we can forgive, be kind, work hard, be honest and frank, build, be happy, do good, and give the world the best we've got. I think we all know those are the things we're supposed to do. The whole book of James tells us that faith without action is meaningless and empty. Ladies and gentlemen of Westminster Presbyterian Church, Waterloo, Iowa, love God, love people, pursue excellence, and do it anyway. Amen.